Now, many of us in attendance today are living in the United States, and we are familiar with a document called the Declaration of Independence. This is one of the most foundational documents of this country. I think we can safely say that. It was written about, you know, a little more than 200 years ago, 240 years ago, more precisely. And I'd like to recite a quote from this. It's one that you're familiar with. And in this Declaration of Independence, it states, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And with that, what follows is the statements of our founding fathers declaring the independence of this country that we live in. And it's the pursuit of happiness that I find particularly intriguing, and something I'll be talking about today. The title of my sermonette is "That Your Joy May Be Full." And it, this idea of a right to happiness and a right to joy is something that, as being endowed by God, our Father, our Creator, that is what is intriguing. Now, the pursuit of happiness is something that is by no means a hedonistic kind of proclamation for self-indulgence. That's not what this is about. This is about the quality of our lives. It's about the way that we live and our ability and the right that we have to live in a way that brings us joy and personal fulfillment. And as the founding fathers of our country have stated in this document, we have God to thank for it. Certainly God indeed wants us to be happy. He wants us to have joy in our lives. But that joy that God wants us to have must be sought in the right place. It can't be sought by our own self-indulgent desires. It's something that we need to look to God for direction in order to find it. Since it is something that God has provided us with in our lives, we should certainly look to Him in order to find full joy. So how can we find it? Where should we look? How should we direct our efforts? What do we need to do if we are to try and find true, lasting joy and happiness in our lives? Well, let's start by looking at where not to find it. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 5, and I'll read verses 10 through 11. Solomon had a lot to say about joy and happiness in his life, and Ecclesiastes is something that goes into that quite a bit. Ecclesiastes 5, beginning in verse 10. "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes?" Now, the point that Solomon is making here is that there is no lasting satisfaction that will be found in worldly pursuits. In this pursuit of silver and riches, it may bring some temporary satisfaction, but it's not the kind of joy that will last. There's nothing wrong, as we learned in the sermon last week, about wealth. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with it. But we do know, as stated here, that it is not the place to look if we want to find true, reliable joy in our lives. Turn with me to 1 John 1, and I'd like to read the opening statements in this book. We'll read verses 1 through 4. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. These statements here describe where we can look to find the source of our joy if we want it to be full, if we want it to be complete. And where is it? It describes the life of Jesus Christ. It describes how he came in the flesh on this earth. It describes the eternal life that he has offered to us by virtue of his sacrifice. It describes the fellowship that we have with one another as brethren, and thereby it describes the fellowship that we have with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That promise, that description of our relationship with God and our potential to partake of eternal life, that's where we can find true, full joy. These things were written for us as a reminder for us of what our lives have the potential to become. That is the source of true, full joy. And there's even more to it than that. Let's go to John 15, and we'll read verses 9 through 11. And in this passage that we'll read, these are Jesus Christ's words. John 15, and verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Love and obedience are inseparable. When we are obedient to the commandments of God, God expresses his love for us. And likewise, if we turn away from God, he will turn away from us too. But that's not what we're supposed to do. What is described here is to be obedient to the commandments that Jesus Christ has expressed as the commandments of God. By being obedient, we can share in God's love and become joyful as a result. But that joy is not just some happy feeling. That is the joy of Jesus Christ. It is literally living and working within us. That is the joy that we should be seeking. That's true, complete happiness. Jesus Christ himself mentions this, that obedience is our way to obtaining his joy living within us. And that joy may be full. That's exciting stuff, to have the joy of Jesus Christ living and working within us. So we need to train our thoughts, turn away from seeking joy in the temporary things, and look to the permanent, spiritual, lasting things. Turn with me to Colossians 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Brethren, set your mind on things above. Don't worry about the things that we have to work with on the earth and this carnal life that we live. We're not going to find joy here, not permanent, lasting joy. We will find it when we train our minds on the things above. Being obedient to God's commandments, looking forward to eternal life. That is where we will find true, lasting happiness. Let's go to Proverbs 3 and read verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 3 and verse 13. Here we read about happiness. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. It's the wisdom, the godly wisdom, that we should seek in our lives as the source of joy and happiness. When we want to learn the wisdom that comes from God, we learn more about His way of life, the way that He wants us to live. And when we apply that in our lives, it brings us joy. It brings us happiness. It brings us length of days. Eternal life, in fact. And there's no greater joy than that. These material things may be a source of temporary happiness and joy, as mentioned here, but it's not permanent. The joy of Christ that will live within us when we seek out godly wisdom. There's no denying that God wants us to rejoice in our lives right now, today. We don't have to wait. He's given us the means to obtain it as well. This real, lasting, permanent joy and happiness. We have the hope of eternal life. We have the fellowship with one another, with the people who are on the same journey. We have fellowship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. We have the love of God to abide in as well when we obey His commandments, when we seek out His wisdom. These things give us true, lasting joy. The joy that we receive from our lives' activities is fine to enjoy. There's nothing wrong with it. And we should. You know, quoting again from Solomon, nothing is better than for a man that he should eat, drink, that his soul should enjoy the good in his labor. This also, I saw, was from the hand of God. That's from Ecclesiastes 2:24. So God wants to be happy in this life with the things that He blesses us with physically, but it's not the kind of source of permanent, lasting joy and happiness that we should be looking for. That joy is fleeting. The true joy, brethren, that we have is in the promises made by God of eternal life in His family. And this I bring to you so that your joy may be full.